This GCN program brought to you by Frederick Remington, Fully Cooked Bacon, the thickest, meatiest, center-cut bacon in the industry. Available at FullyCookedBacon.com. That's FullyCookedBacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound?
We are receiving word that James Comey is now prepared to be interviewed by the special counsel Robert Mueller, putting the former FBI director one step closer to his congressional testimony. He said he needed to speak to Mueller first, so that looks like it's going to be lined up. The second is from Fox Business, who reports that President Trump has begun to hire people for his private legal team. The first person named is his longtime attorney, Mark Kasowitz, who will deal with the independent counsel on this case. So these developments coming as former CIA Director John Brennan earlier today became the latest to admit that to date there is no evidence of collusion.
Did evidence exist of collusion, coordination, conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russian state actors at the time you learned of 2016 efforts?
I encountered and am aware of information and intelligence that revealed contacts and interactions between Russian officials and U.S. persons involved in the Trump campaign. I don't know whether or not such collusion, that's your term, such collusion existed.
Are we getting down to the end of this? You know, is it becoming quite obvious? And even what you just heard from New York Times bestselling author James Herson breaking it down with Mueller. Are you all that confident that we're going to get down to the bottom of this? Is the deep state so deep and so entrenched, and the bureaucracy, as we've called it before, so entrenched that they're going to do everything they can to stay there? Barack Obama's former operatives, I call them as a kind of Manchurian landmines that have been left behind just to go off on Trump. And, you know, supposedly they've discovered three leakers. Here's two, Scott, on top of all this. And, you know, can't wait to find that uncovered. But, you know, what this is all coming down to, and I think Trey Gowdy in his own way, and he's a former prosecutor. He knows the rules of the committee and what he can do and what he can't do. But he can expose, and we can see by contrast what they say. And, of course, some of you might say, well, they can't say that because, you know, he's in a public setting as opposed to a private setting, as he said. And I understand that. But, you know, it still comes down to, you know, why can't we, the people, just get a straight answer? Was there or was there not? It, you know, and really when you think about it, what about all the other voter fraud that's been taking place? That, you know, another one of those 800,000-pound gorillas in the room that they're stepping over to go over and chase this Putin windmill, you know, like Don Quixote. It's like, you know, are we forgetting that, you know, there was on tape two Democratic operatives who said, oh, yeah, we just bust them. We've been doing that for 50 years. We just bust them. I mean, doesn't it stand to reason? And you look at the evidence where in some counties, some voting districts, 120% of the people vote. People who have died found a way to vote. I mean, it's just, it's miraculous. And it's interesting that in many cases, when they died, they were Republican. And when they come back and they're born again, somehow born and born again, in a different sort of way, they become Democrats. I mean, what is wrong with this picture? But it all makes sense, and they just flood, you know, flood the process. And they've been doing this for a long time, and it's like, oh, we have a little bit of a potential blip on the Richter scale here, and everybody's going sideways. And it's all this orchestration about how Trump, you know, and Putin got together, and they were able to oust this incredible machine. When they know darn well that Hillary Clinton was a flawed candidate from the get-go. It's no big surprise. And the big surprise is that Donald Trump is president. I understand that. Big surprise was he vacated 17 other candidates on the way to the Oval Office, and these weren't slouches either. I mean, it wasn't, with all due respect for those that went up against Hillary Clinton, they didn't even have a fair shot. The only one that did was Bernie Sanders. But you had 16 other I believe, very qualified.
Even Sanders.
Very, very smart. Very smart people. Yeah, even Sanders. But the conversation continues. Thank you for jumping in with us.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything, your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2, call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-945-1063. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-945-1063. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-945-1063. That's 1-800-945-1063.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
We have to do it, ladies and gentlemen. If we have anything to offer to our kids and our grandkids, we've got to get this country back on track. You know, a 50-50 nation just doesn't work, and we have to figure out how to get beyond all this this divisiveness. Speaking of grandkids, I just got a really sweet photo from my granddaughter, who happens to be in New York, and she sent me a selfie of her right there on 42nd Street, where our billboard is, you know, because I'm Broadway Bill now, you know. And so there we are, and, you know, sweet Ava, a great little selfie that she took, and, boy, made my day. So they're having a great time in New York, and we're scheduled to be in New York there in a couple of weeks as well. But there it is, the billboard right next to Dave and Buster's across the street from Madame Tussauds on 42nd Street. So Broadway Bill is here. And speaking of here, we're very fortunate and honored to have the one and only Michael Rubin with us. Michael has been, when it comes to intelligence and it comes to the Middle East, regional politics, Iran, Syria, the Persian Gulf, he's with the American Enterprise Institute, a former Pentagon official. Michael Rubin joins us now. Michael, how are you, sir?
Pretty good, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Always good to have you here, your sober insight that is so needed right now because of all the moving parts. We have President Trump knocking it out of the park, seemingly, at every stop on this international tour, right?
Well, absolutely. Although, to be fair, it's not hard to do because I just came back from an extended tour across the Middle East, and Donald Trump has already achieved most of what they wanted, and that is not to be President Obama. And people are just so looking forward and optimistic with the future simply because they were so frustrated with the previous 4 or 8 years that they look forward to working with President Trump and engaging. That said, it's one thing to have a honeymoon. It's another thing to have a successful marriage.
Yeah, go to figure that he had to go to the Middle East for a honeymoon, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, but the Middle East is where we have many of our traditional allies, and the biggest complaint about President Obama was that he simply didn't respect alliances and friendships.
Mm-hmm. Well, it has opened the eyes, I think, of the common man here in the West, Michael, and they're starting to get their brains around just how dysfunctional the Obama administration was. I mean, most people would say, well, yeah, I mean, he seems to be very sympathetic towards the Muslims. I mean, we've got activist judges that, because of what Trump said on the campaign trail, have made judgments against him. Now, I'm wondering if these same activist judges are going to take into account what Trump had to say to the 50 leaders of Muslim nations and how well he was received. Will that alter their decision now?
Well, let's also be clear that the activist judges were going way off the reservation when it came to some of their judgments. in not looking at the laws at hand, but looking at campaign rhetoric. That's a very, very dangerous precedent. But more towards your question, Bill, you know, one of the ironies of the United States and how we approach the Middle East is that we tend to be much more obsessed with this third rail of political correctness than people in the region do. They understand that they have a problem within Islam. Now, they don't want to castigate all of Islam, and an us-versus-them mentality is counterproductive, but what they see is a battle of interpretations within religion, and what they don't have patience for is a denial that religion plays any role in it. After all, the people on the front lines of the fight against radical Islamists are moderate Muslims. They're the ones getting thrown off buildings, they're the ones getting lined up and shot, and therefore they don't have patience for American judges or American pundits who simply say this has nothing to do with religion.
Well, no doubt for them it was a breath of fresh air, one that was needed, and as you say, in some sense, it wasn't necessarily a high bar for Donald Trump. The stage was set because of the 8 previous years, frustrating years, I might add, for these Muslim leaders. And now they feel like here what Donald Trump has been doing, what happened in Europe with Brexit, even in a sense with, the Arab Spring and that, it all portends change. And what I'm sensing, Michael, and you know better than I, because you're there at the ground floor, I'm sensing that there's some positive change to be realized out of the Middle East here.
Well, you're absolutely right, Bill. First of all, just to illustrate just how profound the animosity was towards President Obama, I was meeting with an Arab foreign minister. So I'm not talking about a low-level flunky, an Arab foreign minister who said, but he wanted to remain nameless, that even if the United States elected the devil himself, it would still be better than the president you had last year. I mean, that just really illustrates that animosity. But when it comes to the broad change, think about Israel, Bill. Israel, in the mythology of so many American pundits, is isolated. It's a pariah state. But when you talk to people in the region, Israel has great relations with Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Kuwait, the United Arab Emirates, Oman, Qatar, Egypt, Morocco, Tunisia. Heck, Israel has better relations with the Arab world than countries like Turkey does. Mm-hmm. And so this idea that somehow we're in a really deep, dark period seems to be completely at odds with reality on the ground in the region.
Well, speaking of reality and Israel, let's talk about Abbas and the Palestinians. Trump's big charge here to try to do something to bring these parties together. But, you know, clearly, as Benjamin Netanyahu says, and I agree 100%, I think it's inarguable, how can you negotiate with somebody that rewards terrorists for killing, killing Jews? And it's part of their law. So unless they vacate that law and really do something that has been well established for decades, I mean, this is a generational hatred that has been toward Israel. How can you get together with Israel on any basis if that's what you grew up, understanding?
Well, Bill, I hate to say it. It's not just a matter of Palestinian law. It's what the American taxpayers and European taxpayers are allowing their governments to do, because money is fungible. When we are paying millions, tens of millions of dollars to the Palestinians, and the Palestinian Authority is turning around and paying pensions to terrorists guilty of murdering women and children, civilians who are in prison, that simply is American taxpayers paying terrorists. That needs to end. Congress needs to step up. But even if the Palestinian Authority wasn't doing this, the broader issue we're not talking about is Mahmoud Abbas, I think, is now 82 or 83 years old. He's in the 13th year of his four-year presidential term, and unlike Yasser Arafat before him, he hasn't appointed a successor. So we're looking at chaos down the road in the not-too-distant future when he passes away.
Exactly. Well, I want to get more into that on the other side of the break. We're talking with Michael Rubin, the resident scholar with the American Enterprise Institute, former Pentagon official. We're talking the Trump tour, the Trump effect positive on most of the Muslim world. And is there a peace solution in Israel without the truth? Stay with us, America, just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. You can get involved in the conversation. Drop me a line. We'd love to hear from you. Email me direct, Bill@BillMartinezLive.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Hi, John here again. After another month of being on several supplements from Synergistic Nutrition, including Synergy One, the Andreas Black Cumin Seed Oil, and other supplements, I've lost another 10 pounds for a total of 20 pounds. My belt size has been reduced by 1 3/4 inches. My knees don't ache as much anymore, and I'm walking my dogs twice as long as I did a month ago. I sleep very well and have a lot more energy. I noticed that when I cut myself accidentally, that I was bleeding much more profusely and that the blood was bright red. Previously, I didn't bleed much at all. It was dark red in color. So I know this protocol is working to keep my blood healthy. Additionally, I now have the energy to do calisthenics several times a week in addition to the extra walking. My hunger has been reduced a lot. I take 2 shakes a day along with each meal.
Call Synergistic Nutrition at 888-988-3325 or visit sacredseedoils.com. That's sacredseedoils.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Important qualities that we would want to pass on to our children and our grandchildren, ladies and gentlemen. I am Bill Martinez, 19 minutes after the top of the hour, as we were talking with Michael Rubin, a former Pentagon official and Middle East expert. We were talking about this money that had been distributed you know, to the Palestinians, U.S. taxpayers' money. In a lot of ways, Michael, no different than people's complaint about our tax dollars going to support Planned Parenthood for abortion activities, right?
Well, you're absolutely right there. And the problem is that so many people in Congress, so many people in Washington look at taxpayer money as an entitlement for either private groups or for overseas groups, which have no business getting it without strings attached.
Exactly. Well, we know that right before Donald Trump took over, as he was exiting out the door, President Obama was releasing $221 million to the Palestinian authorities. It had been blocked. It had been up for a bit of discussion and had been blocked by a group in Congress, including Representatives Ed Royce of California and Kay Granger of Texas. And the good news is, I understand, is the payment itself has been frozen by the State Department under President Trump. So that last $221 million, I guess, is still sitting there. But previously, as noted here in this report from Business Insider, in 2015, to your point, Michael, the United States taxpayer money, $355 million. And it's interesting to note that that coincides with the $300 million-plus budget that Abbas and Palestinians pay to these people who have killed, injured, or done anything against Jews in the region.
Well, you're absolutely right, Bill, and it's important to recognize what President Obama was trying to do, and Secretary of State John Kerry, was not only obnoxious, it was likely illegal because Congress has passed a law which basically says that unless the State Department and White House can certify that the PLO isn't engaged in terrorism, then the PLO becomes disqualified from receipt of any money. What President Obama and Kerry said is you have to give them the money to keep the peace process alive, but the problem is if you're renting people rather than having people in their heart accept peace, you're never going to achieve peace. They got to accept peace first, then they get their reward.
Well, a lot that people don't talk about relevant to the Palestinians is their continued unilateral attempts at statehood, blatant corruption, incitement of violence, and as you said, Michael, paying salaries to people and their families who are in jail, naming streets after them. I mean, they're like honor shrines for these decided martyrs by the Palestinians. I mean, how do you go into a negotiation? How are you, if you are Bibi Netanyahu, how do you sit down with the boss and say, okay, you know, let's talk when you've got barriers to entry before you even get to the bargaining table?
Well, you know, you're absolutely right there. And what a lot of people who don't follow the Arab-Israeli situation may not realize, they might say, why not just let the Palestinians declare or declare unilaterally that they're a state, or why not have European countries recognize them? But it all goes down to the nature of diplomacy. The Palestinians, when they returned to the Gaza Strip back in 1994 under Bill Clinton, they agreed that they would negotiate statehood. They forswore declaring it unilaterally. Now, if you simply change the rules of the game, what you're saying is not just in the Middle East, but everywhere in the world, that diplomatic agreements only last 19 or 20 years, then all bets are off. That's the way to have international chaos, not peace.
Exactly. And interestingly enough, is Arabs that live in areas controlled by Israelis, they're happy campers, if the truth be known. I mean, they're not going to stand up and make a blatant statement, although some have, at the risk of being cast out by their fellow Arabs and Palestinians, because that's, you know, something that's a bit verboten. You're not supposed to be talking that way. But life within the Israeli boundaries is very positive and prosperous and, oh, yes, peaceful. But yet outside those areas, in the areas that the Arabs and the Palestinians control, you got all hell breaking loose. So, I mean, there is a clear contrast for the local people, and they're only hoping that Donald Trump can do something to bring these sides together. But as I've said, Michael, unless we're willing to really call out these 800,000-pound gorillas that are in the room and be honest and forthright and truthful about it, I believe Benjamin Netanyahu is earnest to that end. I'm not convinced that Abbas is.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And what really it's really a humanitarian issue that goes beyond simply the Middle East, because when you consider that the Palestinians have gotten more per capita on humanitarian assistance and have squandered it, and then you look at the numbers of people, Syrian Christians, for example, that need to have this aid that are being forced into refugee status, they're getting aid denied to them because the Palestinians are utilizing it on terrorist pensions and on rockets.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you would think the president and Mulvaney are looking at that. I mean, with this budget that they've presented to Congress, you start to see some of that thinking coming into play. Of course, you got Democrats saying it's dead on arrival and yada, you know, that whole deal, because they just want, you know, they want to disagree about anything that has Trump's name on it. That's okay. But it's Reagan-esque in as much as that, as Ronald Reagan would say, hey, I didn't expect to get 100%, but even if I get 80%, that's better than we had going into this, right?
Well, it absolutely is, and it's time also for a wake-up call that people recognize what a balanced budget looks like, because we're going to eventually need to deal with this. If we don't deal with it now, it's going to be much harder down the pike. But we've got to recognize that, you know, money isn't free. We can't keep spending on social programs that really don't benefit the United States as a whole. And I think Trump was right that, look, the metric shouldn't be how many people are on this social program, but how many people are able to get off it.
Exactly. Exactly. And I thought that was a good point that was made by Mulvaney as well. Michael, going back to what President Trump had to say to the Muslim world, really brought Iran and ISIS more in the crosshairs. What was your read on that?
Well, I think that's absolutely the case. The biggest difference between Obama and President Obama and his speech back in June 2009 and President Trump is, number one, Trump addressed the issue of terrorism. Obama, if you go back and review his speech in Cairo, just wouldn't talk about it. And the second issue is that Obama kept wanting to see the roots of terrorism in grievance, something that could be resolved through diplomacy. Trump recognized that, look, the problem here is Islamist terrorism. It's ideology, and you got to confront that ideology.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that he said, look, at this is your community, this is your land. And I think this was kind of the nuance here that was pointed out by Joseph Castleberry, because the mainstream media is not all that familiar with the Quran. That term, drive them out, came from the Quran. So he used their own language to encourage them to step up and take care of their own problem.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that we would be a lot closer to world peace if people would have personal accountability instead of always trying to blame outsiders. And I think that's what Trump was getting at.
Without a doubt. North Korea continues to, continues their aggressive moves. Give us an update on that, Michael. I know you've been on top of that as well.
Well, you know, North Korea is a huge problem. We've been worried about this since 1994. When the Clinton administration struck a deal which was supposed to resolve the question of North Korean nukes, North Korea used our diplomacy not as a way to how to get to yes, not as a way to get peace, but rather as an asymmetric warfare strategy. What should worry us is that Iran might be engaged in the same strategy. The other issue which should worry us is, in order to get North Korea to play ball, we've given tremendous concessions to China, and instead of resolving the situation, China's been playing good cop, bad cop. The right. fact of the matter is, we've got a major problem there, and Trump is absolutely correct that, again, we can't keep kicking this down the road, especially as North Korea approaches missile capability, which might reach the United States. We should take no solace still in the idea of a failed North Korean missile test, because you can learn as much from a failure as you can from a success.
Without a doubt, as Thomas Edison prove that to us, right, in discovering electricity. Michael Rubin, resident scholar with the American Enterprise Institute, former Pentagon official, Middle East expert on Bill Martinez Live. Michael, thank you so much. Take care, buddy.
Thank you, Bill.
Hello, I'm Dr. Chira Curry, a board-certified ear, nose, and throat physician. Every day, I see many patients whose lives would be enriched by hearing aids, but who simply cannot afford the thousands of dollars needed to pay for them. I made it my mission to find a way to manufacture medical-grade, affordable hearing aids. Working with other doctors and audiologists, I developed the MD Hearing Aid Air, which costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids.
See how the MD Hearing Aid Air can help you once again enjoy conversations, even in noisy places. Call 1-800-416-1526 to speak with one of their trained specialists. Reconnect with your life with MD Hearing Aids' affordable quality hearing solutions at a fraction of the cost of custom hearing aids. Right now, take advantage of their exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-416-1526. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-416-1526.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
Hey, DC. There's still such a thing called the Constitution. Remember? Bill Martinez, live.
You know, we point the fingers always at D.C. and the bureaucrats, but hey, this is a government of, for, and by we the people. We might even heed the big voices' admonition as well, ladies and gentlemen. When was the last time you read the Constitution? What a brilliant document. I mean, when you read it, and I do this several times a year just on purpose, and every time I do, I just imagine what our founding fathers went through. And just how brilliant. I mean, you talk about the men for a season and how they came together quite spectacularly. Alex Pappas is with us right now, White House correspondent for the Washington Examiner. And we're going to be talking about President Trump and Pope Francis meeting. Alex, good to have you with us. I'm Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, great to have you here. In your column, in your article, you write that Pope Francis and Donald Trump exchanged books, huh?
Yeah, and so Donald Trump gave the Pope a bunch of books written by Martin Luther King Jr. And so that was the exchange gift, and I think the Pope gave him, the president, some books as well. Obviously, it was interesting because it's the first time the two of them had ever met face-to-face. We all remember during the campaign when Trump did something that I can't think of any other politician doing, which was actually getting into a bit of a spat with the Pope when the Pope gave some comments about the wall and immigration and kind of said that he didn't think it was a Christian thing to do to build walls. And then, if you remember, Trump responded by saying that it was disgraceful for anyone to judge somebody's religion and their personal beliefs. And so that was kind of an amazing moment during the campaign. And, you know, fast forward to today. They both had a very cordial meeting for the first time, exchanging gifts.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is ironic. The Pope, you know, takes exception to walls, but last time I checked at the Vatican, there's walls all around, isn't there?
Indeed.
Just saying. I mean, hey, I'm not looking to be excommunicated here, but you know, this is the thing that's so ironic about this discussion and overreach. You know, we've been talking about, you know, with Donald Trump on this tour, and he meets with 50 Muslim leaders, and next thing you know, he's doing a sword dance. There's, you know, there's billboards all over the place welcoming him. And, you know, I wonder if that's going to change the minds of these judges that said, you know, he's anti-Muslim. And so we're not going to approve his executive orders, right?
Yeah, and then I really wish we knew what exactly was said in the private meeting between the Pope and the president. They went into his private study. We know we don't know exactly what was discussed there. We only saw the gifts and the stuff in public. So, you know, I would love to know, did any of these political issues come up? What did the Pope press him on? Did they get into a discussion about immigration and the walls, or did they decide to kind of put that off to the side and talk more general? So obviously that's interesting. And then as you brought up, you know, Trump was just in Saudi Arabia, gave that big speech on Sunday to a bunch of Muslim leaders. I mean, something that, you know, that was quite the amazing visual that would have been probably hard to imagine during the campaign as well. So, you know, it's been, in terms of the pictures, it's been kind of an extraordinary thing to see as Trump has gone from country to country.
Well, speaking of optics, you noted that when the two first came together, some had commented that it seemed a little stiff. Maybe they were reading into it more than they should. But again, you know, you read into it based on your perception. As you noted earlier, Trump had made some comments to where, it wasn't like he said anything nice about the Pope in terms of, you know, he appreciated his leadership or anything like that. It was, like you said, the exchange was a little edgy, but they said later on when they did have a chance to glimpse in that it seemed like the two were getting along.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, they let reporters come in and see a little bit at these meetings, and the reporters that were there said that the Pope didn't see anything and he was stone-faced with the president. But then, you know, after they exchanged gifts, that it seemed to get a lot more lighthearted, and then they report that Melania Trump and the Pope were talking about, you know, treats back home in Slovenia, and she was talking about the hospital that she went on to visit today in Rome. So it seemed like things kind of did lighten up a little bit more. And obviously people were looking for evidence to see if the president and the Pope, if things were awkward or things were tense between the two. But it seems like towards the end of it, that wasn't the case.
Yeah, the Pope and Melania had to talk about, is it Potiza? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think that's what it's called. Now, some people apparently were confused at first because it sounded like they said pizza. And so the reports came out that the First Lady and the Pope were talking about pizza, and people were kind of laughing about that. But it turns out the Pope was making reference to this sort of treat back at her home of Slovenia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting, too. You know, Melania has really become the modern-day Jackie O. I mean, you can't help but comment on what she's wearing. I mean, even when she left, I thought it was remarkable. I don't remember a first lady wearing leather before and looking quite so good.
Right. Yeah. And there is a lot of attention on what she wears, especially even today. I think she wore a black veil to meet the Pope, as I think it's required to do for females to go there when they meet the Pope at the Vatican. So, yes, there has been a lot of attention on what she's worn, and also when she was in Saudi Arabia, you know, where she wore, an outfit that covered her arms and her legs, but, you know, to be appropriate, but at the same time, you know, people were saying that it was still very fashionable. So, yeah, I think the way that comparison you made there would work here, too.
Exactly. Well, Alex, you would think with the inroads that Donald Trump has made so far with the Muslim community, these 50 leaders, meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu and Abbas, that this is an opportunity for the church and the Pope in the name of peace to come alongside this, this Trump effect that has not only affected here, you know, us here domestically, good and bad, but it seems to be very positive on this tour. And there's, I believe, some opportunity that is opening up that, you know, the Pope could be very instrumental in, keeping the momentum going, don't you think?
I actually do think that, you know, this first part of the trip, meeting with Muslims and Christians and Jews, has been very successful for Trump. I mean, he has been disciplined and he has stayed on message. And I think he's gotten some positive reviews as a fact. You know, he's now going over, he just landed, I think, in Brussels, and then he'll go to the G7 summit later on in the week. And I think, you know, he may, things may not go as smoothly as they did, you know, at the beginning of the trip. But it's interesting because there was a lot of talk before Trump went on this trip about how he wasn't necessarily thrilled about going, that he's kind of a homebody, actually, and doesn't like traveling. I think he's had a better week this week than he had last week, that's for sure.
Yeah, without a doubt. And it's been very encouraging. And even with him going to Brussels in light of, you know, what happened at Manchester a couple of days ago, you know, I mean, clearly the crosshairs for the international community are set on Iran and ISIS. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you would imagine they will be talking a lot about terrorism. I mean, they're in Brussels, a city that is obviously seen, you know, the awful effects of ISIS, and Trump is there today. I think Trump has said things about Brussels before that I wonder if those sorts of comments will come up as well. But, yeah, you just have to imagine that's going to be a major issue that we hear about as he's having these meetings there in Brussels, and then he's going to be, I think, tomorrow with NATO and some of the other EU officials before he goes to Sicily for that G7 summit.
And I like the idea, the way he is, what's been the foundation of this tour and how he's talked to people. It hasn't been about apology. It's been about accountability. It's been about shared interest of prosperity and peace for the people that they serve and lead. And the fact that, you know, there's a lot of load to carry here, and that everybody has to do their fair share without being criticizing, but being more encouraging and truthful. In fact, is that your read, or am I overreading this?
No, I agree with you. I think it's been interesting to see how he has gone into places too, like Saudi Arabia, where he could not have, you know, he could have very well had a welcome from some of the people at that speech, from some of these Arab leaders that would not have been, so received so well, and he did. And he has, I think, found a way to balance what he thinks he needs to say about terrorism while at the same time, you know, bringing people in and saying that I want to work with you on these things.
Well, Alex Pappas, thank you so much for being with us. Good stuff here. Congratulations. Alex is the White House correspondent for the Washington Examiner. Alex, thanks again for being with us.
This report is brought to you by Cochlear. Baby boomers are suffering from hearing loss in record numbers across the United States, but many let their condition go untreated. Approximately one-third of Americans between ages 65 and 74, and nearly half of those over age 75, experience hearing loss, but nearly 70% do not use a hearing aid. Additionally, nearly 2 million Americans could be candidates for cochlear implant technology, but only 5% of those who could benefit from it have been treated. Dr. Daniel Zeitler is a neurotologist and skull-base surgeon at Virginia Mason Medical Center.
Many baby boomers are experiencing hearing loss that could be treated with cochlear implant technology, the only proven technology for those with hearing loss in the severe to profound range. Medicare, most insurance plans, and often Medicaid cover cochlear implants. It's so important that anyone with hearing loss talk to their doctor about the treatment options that may be available to improve and maintain their quality of life.
For more information, visit cochlear.com/US.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-8785. 800-430-8785. 800-430-8785. 800-430-8785.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance.
become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Do you know what's lurking in your water? More than 200 contaminants could be sitting there, just waiting for your glass. With a ProPure water filter, start enjoying clean and great-tasting water today. ProPure filters, independently tested, latest water filter technology. ProPure systems do not require electricity and are easy to set up and easy to use. To find out more, visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
It's about time someone had the courage to say it.
An explosion at Manchester Arena in the city centre. Currently, we have 19 people confirmed to have lost their lives in the explosion and around 50 casualties. We are currently treating this as a terrorist incident.
All your time waiting for that second chance, for a break that would make. There's always some reason to feel not good enough, and it's hard at the end of the day. I need some distraction.
I ask everybody to be vigilant and to cooperate with and support the police as they go about their important work. And while we mourn the victims of last night's appalling attack, we stand defiant. The spirit of Manchester and the spirit of Britain is far mightier than the sick plots of depraved terrorists.
In the arms of the angel, fly away from here, from this dark.
I'd like to begin my remarks today by sending the thoughts and prayers of the entire American people to the victims of the terrorist attack. I want to send our condolences to the many families who lost their loved ones, dozens of innocent people, beautiful young children savagely murdered in this heinous attack upon humanity. I repeat again that we must drive out the terrorists and the extremists from our midst, obliterate this evil ideology, and protect and defend our citizens and people of the world.
Bill Martinez live.
Wow. I got to tell you, we have, we're so blessed with this radio show to have people that do the imaging and put this together. And Big Wave Dave out of Los Angeles put this segment together for us. It's just, it is touching. I mean, Andrea Kay, I'm going to bring you on right now to talk about this. Andrea Kay is a conservative radio TV host And she joins us every week to talk about Cooler Talk. And no doubt the conversation continues to resound regarding Manchester when you think about leadership on the world stage. Prime Minister May, our own president, and the comments, so appropriate, so touching. I don't know. I don't know how the parents are comforted without God, without some sense of faith here, Andrea, because this is devastating. I mean, 119 people plus have been wounded, 22 reported dead, most of them young people. I think the youngest is an 8-year-old girl. And suddenly, you know, when you hear of an 8-year-old girl, you know, the father in me comes out. Because I remember when my daughter was 8 years old, and if anything would have happened to her, I mean, she's, you know, she's 27 years old, and I still have that sense of protection and love for her, you know? This is heartbreaking.
First of all, thank you for having me on the show. Who did that package, Dave, did a phenomenal job, so much so it's like, I don't know how I'm supposed to speak right now.
Yeah, I know.
Because it truly brought the emotion of this attack to the forefront, because to my knowledge, and I've been following the scourge of radical Islam and jihad, which I think has two fronts, one through the sword and one through Sharia, I think this is the first time we have seen children. To me, an 8-year-old is practically a baby, and we're seeing almost babies blown to bits and hearing that nails were having to be pulled out of their bodies. I don't know. I think there's still either 10 or 12 children or young people missing, and to see parents holding up pictures, it reminds you of 9/11 again.
Exactly.
So this is truly one of the most heartbreaking. They're all, to every terrorist attack, takes the lives of someone's child, sister, mother, family member. But when it involves children, 8-year-olds, you have to say enough, enough. I get that they're, May and other leaders are having some poignant moments and saying some beautiful things, but isn't it time for action, Bill? And when we have Britain saying, oh, well, we've got to raise the threat level to critical, wasn't it already critical?
Yes.
Wasn't it critical when Europe opened up their borders and imported terrorism in and turned the other way?
Well, and this is what they're realizing.
The action to stop it?
Yeah, this is what they're realizing. But also, I think we can be encouraged with, the speech that President Trump gave to the 50 Muslim leaders. He said this is their problem. This is their community. These are their churches that they need to, quoting the Quran, which many in the mainstream media didn't even realize they quote and appreciated. And Joseph Castleberry reminded that reminded us of that this morning, drive them out. He said twice, drive them out. That is from the Quran. And so he spoke their language, and that should be something that should echo throughout the Muslim community, as well as people here in this country, to realize that when you are confronted with evil, you pay a big price if you choose to ignore it. And it's clear there is a distinct clarification between this president and the president before. Two different strategies, and which do you feel more comfortable with? And I believe the Muslims were happy to embrace what Donald Trump had to say. I believe the conversation with Theresa May, and there's nothing like experience, as I tell my kids. Experience defines preference, and the world is learning at a very costly expense, at the loss of 8-year-old girls, the cost of sticking our head in the sand and not confronting evil when it comes knocking at your door, and instead opening up your gates and putting in the welcome mat, because evil will do what evil knows to do.
Absolutely. And I thought that President Trump's speech in Riyadh was brilliant on a variety of different levels. First and foremost, he did lay it at their feet and said, this is, you know, this ideology is coming out of your community, coming out of your mosque, it's coming out of your countries, it's coming out of your, quote, faith. I thought that, you know, working with the other Muslim countries, with some of the criticisms that he had with his initial statements on the campaign for a Muslim ban, as well as the travel ban, was, oh, we've got to work with these countries. Okay, well, he's working with these countries. I thought it was a brilliant speech. I thought his financing center that he's working on funding to try to route out the money that's involved, all great moves. Each individual country, though, including us here, needs to finally take some action to stop this beyond just words. For example, he's saying, you know, he's laying it at their feet and he's saying, drive them out of their mosques. We know here in this country the role that the mosques played in terrorist attacks from 9/11 to the Boston bombing to San Bernardino. And we actually even had intelligence officials pulled off of those investigations that could have possibly prevented terrorist attacks. Could this terrorist attack have been prevented in Manchester? I'm not sure. I do know that this man was considered a known wolf.
Right.
So why we have in Europe and here in this country, we have intelligence failures that are leaving dead bodies in the streets.
Well, it's time to take to take it seriously. Exactly, Andrea. And we've got to step it up. I mean, obviously, I mean, look at the reaction now. You've got 3,800 supposedly military men that have been called into action here to reinforce the local police there, according to Theresa May. And, you know, and the other thing, too, and you had noted on this that, you know, whenever these things happen, for some reason, I don't understand why people look to celebrities to comment. But Katy Perry, you know, she says, you know, we all just need to coexist. Evil. Yeah. I mean, you know, this is the problem. You know, evil is evil. You want to coexist with evil? How about if we just move it next door to where you live, Katy Perry, and tell me that we need to coexist, right?
Well, exactly. And don't you just love these celebrities who get in their armored cars and then go back to their gated communities talking about coexisting? You know,
These are the same ones that say, you know, I don't want you to have guns. And, oh, how dare President Trump talk about a wall on our southern border when they themselves are so surrounded by walls and personal bodyguards, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, the hypocrisy knows no bounds. I suggested, you know, and I actually got hundreds of retweets on this. I'm like, Katy Perry, if you really think that that's such a good suggestion to coexist, I suggest you become an ISIS war bride. I'll buy the ticket in the burqa. Get on over there. Take your message of coexisting and tolerance over there. But weren't they? Haven't they already been coexisting in Europe? Hasn't that been what the great multiculturalism experiment was about?
Exactly.
Weren't they coexisting in Manchester? Didn't Manchester actually have protests in the street against Donald Trump and his travel ban?
Right.
Europe has been doing the great coexisting experiment for a long time. That's what those little girls were doing at a concert.
Yeah, where are the people now? Where are they? They're, you don't see them out in the street protesting this. One final thing, just for fun here, because we got to lighten things up. We started out pretty heavy, Andrea. This is a crazy story about a pug. Saves the home from family invader, you know, and family from invader, home invaders, right? We love pugs.
Absolutely. This was down in Georgia, and us canine child lovers, we know that our doggies bring more than just love. They bring protection to the home. Man, get yourself a pug.
Yeah, exactly. And chase them away. Teach you to come into my house, I'm telling you, buddy. Andrea Kay, yes, conservative radio TV host. Andrea, always good to have you with us. Thank you so much. Have a great week.
Thank you, too, Bill. Bye-bye now.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.